It's 5 minutes with me.
Oh, happy day. Hello, friends. This is Marco. Welcome to 5 minutes with Marco. We are in part two of a two-part episode on teenagers and materialism. I'd encourage you, if you didn't listen to part one, go back and check it out first. In that episode, I kind of identified why this topic is challenging to talk about with teenagers, kind of how it became, in a sense, the water that they're swimming in. So it just often doesn't compute when we give an annual for the love of money talk. So let's kind of dive into some more thinking on that, and particularly move forward in helping us think about some different ways of addressing it. And sometimes I find that an extreme example can help, although sometimes it's easy to distance ourselves and say, well, I'm not that bad. Why do so many youth ministries continue, overtly or subtly, to embrace a field of dreams mentality? If you build it, they will come. Attract a bunch of teenagers could really be the best summary job description of a simple majority of youth workers that I interact with, even if it's not what they want their job descriptions to be. And now, attracting teenagers to your youth ministry isn't in and of itself a bad thing. It's just a misguided priority. Here's how this plays out in extreme, not so extreme that it's not the reality of hundreds of examples. First, a church with plenty of resources hires a youth worker. Already operating with the attractional philosophy, the youth worker makes a logical leap. If they will come because we built it, then they will come in larger numbers if we build it really big and flashy. So they build youth ministry facilities better than any rec center you've ever seen and offer the most kick-butt high-activity and high-volume youth ministry ever conceived. And confirming their suspicions, lots of teenagers are attracted. It's a good show, so why wouldn't they come? But materialism, I want to suggest, isn't really the problem. Why look at the problematic philosophy of youth ministry in the midst of a podcast episode on materialism? Well, because I don't believe that materialism is our root issue. I think that materialism is a symptom. Consumerism is the real problem. And our churches have so completely bought into consumerism, at least most churches aren't conversely stuck in traditionalism. And it's almost absurd to try to teach teenagers about the problem of materialism. This isn't an episode about church history and models of youth ministry, so I won't go into too much detail here. But somewhere in the second half of the last century, propelled by our modernistic propensity to view everything as quantifiable, objectifiable, and mechanical, our churches fully embraced growth as the ultimate goal. Sounds nice and organic, doesn't it? Again, I'm simplifying here, but stick with me. In order to get more people or more teenagers, we started making changes, many of them long overdue, in our programming and worship and architecture and everything else about church ministry. Many of these changes worked in terms of making church or youth group more attractive. And while the church is struggling in many quarters, churches who adopted these innovative approaches often experienced significant numerical growth. Now, please don't mishear me. I believe some of the changes churches have experimented with or implemented have been good and needed changes. The problem is the church accidentally swallowed something else along with the good changes. Non-critical assumptions that treating parishioners or teenagers as consumers is just how things have to be done these days. That's my point here. It's rather useless to challenge teenagers on their materialism if our entire ministries are built on treating them as consumers. Little tongue-in-cheek sidebar here. Here's the top 10 signs your youth ministry might be built on consumeristic assumptions. Warning, some of these are intentionally overstated and a little bit snarky. 10, you talk about my group. That's ownership language, the language of consumers. 9, your mission statement, more teenagers, more often. 8, you constantly pressure your teenagers to bring friends. Those teenagers whose natural outgoing personality makes this easy are considered the most spiritual. 7, Guilt and manipulation are seen as necessary evils and reframed as speaking the truth or as the gospel. 6, the biggest buzz you ever had in ministry was the time you were able to report 10 decisions for Christ, whether those teenagers were ever seen again or not. 5, you've pondered how to make Christianity as simple as possible for teenagers. 4, the result of your youth ministry is nice teenagers who are willing to attend church. 3, the ministry tools you're sure will really get things moving, a great sound system, a hip youth room, and truly awe-inspiring media on the screens. 2, you daydream about the things you'll never have, laser lights and a fog machine. And the number one sign your youth ministry might be built on consumeristic assumptions, when you talk about growth, you're only referring to numbers. So what's a good youth worker to do? Go ahead. Teach about materialism. Like I said earlier, talk with your teenagers about how the accumulation of stuff is a dead-end approach to fulfillment, an endless roundabout of temporary satisfaction. Talk about the amazing countercultural idea straight out of the kingdom of God that stuff will never truly satisfy and that true and full living will never be found in money, toys, gadgets, cars, or clothes. Offer up for consideration the life-giving practices of living with less, serving, and giving. And don't just talk about these radical ideas. Offer them up as the practices and programming of your ministry. I've never seen anything confront materialism in a teenager's world like the hard in-your-face realities of an effective and well-done cross-cultural mission trip or work project. But always keep in mind that our most effective teaching and programming will never have full impact unless we begin to undo the consumer-driven underpinnings of our ministry thinking and assumptions. Start with assumptions. Ask yourself and your entire ministry team, even your student leaders, what are the assumptions driving our ministry to teenagers? What assumptions do we have that could be a reflection of an unintentional courtship with consumerism? Also, look at your measuring sticks. What do you measure to determine that you're effective? You might find that some or all of your success metrics are reflective of an underlying approach to treating teenagers as consumers. Of course, that would mean that you need some new measuring sticks. What non-consumer measurements could reframe the assumptions of your ministry? What non-consumer measurements could you begin to use in the wake of rejecting or diminishing those that are consumer-driven that would truly be reflective of the kingdom values? How can we measure whether our groups are embracing grace and mercy, justice, and the journey of discipleship? At the end of the day, it's only when we truthfully and courageously confront our own consumerism and our consumer-driven thinking about youth ministry, combined with effective teaching and programming into the areas of materialism, that we can hope to see change. If we do these things and model these values in our own lives, then we can hope to have teenagers see through the materialistic veil placed on them by our cultures and, sadly, by our churches.
Youth Cartel Podcast Network.